The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The rain has stopped here in Fayetteville. The sun trying to peek through a overcast sky. And we're an hour away from Eric Musselman joining us on set. One of the top basketball coaches in the country. And the head coach of Arkansas's football program will be with us in about 20 minutes right now. Roman Harper and
Jordan Rogers.
It's been so long since I've seen you, I've forgotten. Our gridiron guest. Jordan, you were in Knoxville last night. I know that
was probably
seemed like a year ago.
Are you sure that was
Tell us about the Vols, because we haven't had a chance to talk about that game.
That was great. I mean, they scored a touchdown on their first defensive snap, a touchdown on the first offensive snap. It's a great way to start a game. I think my biggest question mark going in, I knew the offense was going to be great. I have no questions about Hendon Hooker. I think just from a depth and number standpoint, you know the defense is going to get better. We also know they don't have to be great there. They have to be better than they were last year. Biggest question mark to me was who's going to be that number two receiver? Because that offense needs to be explosive. They got to have somebody else to take the ball away from Cedric Tillman. Obviously, Brew McCoy now makes a splash. The legend of Brew McCoy didn't do much last night. Didn't really need to. Jalen Hyatt as well. They got to find somebody between those two. And I don't know if we saw quite enough last night to know who it's going to be to complement Cedric Tillman. And that offense is going to be tough to slow down.
Could you tell much on the defensive side what they're going to be facing? They have Pittsburgh next week.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh struggled at times to get things going last night. I watched both games as much as I could. I'll continue to break down some film, but I saw what I needed to see out of Tennessee last night to continue to get me excited about what they're going to do this year. I knew the offense was going to be explosive and score points in bunches, but defensively, and what Jordan hit into was, you know, being good enough. What does that mean? Well, they need to cause turnovers. They did it on the very first play. They need to be better on third down defense. They had a couple fourth down stops.
Yeah.
Like, all those things matters and equals to, you know, winning football. The only goal Tennessee's defense should have all year long is get my offense back on the field. Whatever it takes. If I give up a touchdown in less than 2 minutes, the goal is still achieved.
The one thing on that defensive side that like, there's a lot of stat chasers out there. A lot of people just read the box score.
Right.
You know a little bit about, if you can read the box score, zero sacks. That was an area that I think that they not necessarily struggled in last year. They got a lot of TFLs, but if their pass defense is going to get better, they have to be better up front.
Yep.
And, hey, just because you have zero sacks doesn't mean you didn't affect the quarterback, but still, that's a big one to me.
It is.
You're playing a lower-level team. Like, I feel like they should have got home at least once or twice. That's a position that will evolve with Byron Young out there getting better.
But not only that, but it sets you up on better position to be successful on third down.
Yeah.
If I'm better on first and second down, third and long situations is more of an advantage for the defense. So it's complementary football, and they have to be better at that. And those are the things that we're looking for Tennessee to improve on and take that next step, because we have zero concerns offensively as long as they stay healthy.
A lot of times with conventional teams, you hear, well, they're going to be vanilla, but Josh Heupel's not exactly conventional. So in terms of what you think we'll see next week and ensuing weeks, what did we see last night?
Yeah, the problem with a defense facing Tennessee is it's not super complicated what they do in general, right? It's spacing, it's tempo.
Yeah.
Can you get lined up fast enough, and can you adjust to the splits and what they're going to be doing? I will say the next iteration of this offense, though, because it will need to evolve, right? Everybody had tape on Josh Heupel, but now they have tape on Josh Heupel with Hendon Hooker. So defense are going to figure some things out. I think with the combination of Alex Golish, his background at Iowa State was tight ends shifting and motioning. I do believe we're going to see more usage of the tight ends. And I do believe, even with the tempo at times, we're going to see some movement before the snap, right? Another way to throw people off. So I do think we'll see more of that next week, and I think we'll see more of it this year as this offense starts to evolve a little bit.
I would love for them to do that more, just because it adds more pressure on the defense to communicate. When somebody moves, somebody's got to talk.
They're trying to get lined up as Izzy. Okay, I got lined up. My guy's gone. Like,
it only makes it harder as a defense to defend it when you're already speed, tempo, trying to get my eyes right. Next, you know, somebody moves. And so it only adds a little bit more. And also, they use the tight end in a great position where they line them up wide to block on screen plays. Then they go screen and go. But then if you add some movement behind that, it just makes it a little bit more. It takes it to that next step defensively where you have to defend all of those things and still be in the right position and do your job. So it just adds another layer to it. I would love to see that. I heard you talking about that last night and thought it was a great point.
Let's bring it here to Fayetteville, where Cincinnati shows up tomorrow afternoon. I think they've actually already shown up.
I know the fans are. They're on the flight.
Yeah, we had a few.
Yeah.
They have a really good program. Their fans, pretty weak. I mean, they try to trash talk in the most vanilla way possible. Not impressed. Jordan, I think you just saw the quarterback. I'm not sure.
Yes, yeah.
I heard you were going.
Play some Django with him.
So
see you tomorrow.
Let's start with KJ and take it from there.
Look, he's so dangerous because he's so physical in the run game, right? I mean, at his core, Arkansas, their identity is running the football.
Yep.
And they'll keep doing that, right? They lose Traylon Smith, but got Dominique Johnson back as well as Raheem Sanders. So they're great there. What impressed me most last year is a big physical guy that takes that many hits. He was so accurate downfield. Yep. So, again, the big question mark for me there is how do you replace Traylon Burks, right? That's a huge one. Heard a lot of good things about Jaden Hazelwood coming from Oklahoma. Matt Landers, this guy that's been around a ton. We've heard a ton about him. He might have an opportunity to do something this year. So this is going to be a really, really good football team. I was just thinking about it over there. I've already said many times that I think they're the third best in the SEC. I think right now, if they were playing Georgia week one, I think we have a very, very interesting conversation. Now, what?
You've been hanging around this guy too long.
Georgia's replacing their entire defense going up against an offense that is physical, that'll punch you in the mouth, and that has everybody back. I'm saying, look, I'm not saying those teams are going to be equal at the end of the year. They may be, right? And I think Georgia's a better football team. I'm saying if they play tomorrow, that's an interesting conversation for what Arkansas has coming back and what Georgia lost last year. But I think highly of this football team. There we go.
He's playing it up for the crowd like you do, Paul. He's playing it up for the crowd.
Jordan for governor.
Yeah, he's playing it up for the crowd over here.
There we go.
He's playing it up for the crowd. I don't think you can out-physical Georgia. I think that would be not the best matchup, but, you know, who's the kid? That's not happening right now.
You got four offensive linemen back. Who's Georgia got coming back? Jalen Carter.
Georgia.
Nolan Smith.
They're just so big. They
don't got Jordan Davis anymore?
I'm not going to answer hypotheticals.
Okay.
All right? Not going to answer hypotheticals.
Well, then you can't be at this
network. Then, everything we talk about is hypothetical.
I do think tomorrow I'm looking forward to the defense. I want to see what kind of step does Arkansas – do they continue to build off what Barry Odom's done in the last few years here, getting this defense. They play like the hair is on fire. They haven't always had the best athletes, haven't always had the best players, but they know where to be at all times, and they make you have to beat them, and they take advantage of you when you make mistakes. And so if they can be better versus the run game on first and second down, it's going to put them in better position to be successful defensively as a whole. And so I want to see how they continue to build upon it. They got some new faces that we're going to have to see step up. Not saying that they haven't played at all, but having the same coaching staff, having everybody that's been here the last couple of years, seeing how it's done the right way, that now by the time you step in, you should be just right in line, and it should not be much of a drop-off. So I just want to see how this defense continues to play this year. Are they better against the run, and do they still fly around at high pace?
With Jordan and Roman, Coach Pittman will be with us in just a minute. Let me get to the Swamp tomorrow night, because we just had Dan on from down there, and that's a game that a million different opinions on. What about yours?
I really like Utah. Sitting right here, they're a playoff team to me, just because I got a chance to do the Rose Bowl last year and see how physical that matchup, and Cam Rising got banged up late in that game. I think if he's there for a few more drives, who knows? CJ Stroud was on one, but so was Utah that game, and that was back and forth. It's a physical football team. Something I'll talk about and do a little breakdown on tomorrow is Florida last year struggled mightily against teams that ran the football with two tight ends on the field. They gave up 250 or something against South Carolina with two tight ends on the field, 150, maybe over 200, 150 for Georgia, and they ran it a ton against them. Utah uses two and three tight ends, and they punch you in the mouth. So I want to see how Florida responds. I want to see the culture. I want to see the nastiness, right? I mean, the defensive speed and aggressiveness that we've known Florida for so long hasn't been there the last few years, and they're going to get a great test. Right now I lean a little bit towards Utah, but – Anthony Richardson is the wild card because, I mean, he's one of the most talented players in the entire country. So with him, you always have a shot.
He's so good, but I just haven't seen enough. And I don't enough to at least form a decent
opinion
on.
He's got a new coach, new system. Who knows?
Everything.
They're
we have no idea.
Question mark.
They are. And you know what Utah is. So that's what gives you – that's why Jordan is not wrong for saying we like Utah right now, just because they're the better team. They've been the better program the last 4 or 5 years. So – not 4 or 5, but, you know, the last couple years.
Yeah.
Utah's continued to build on the right way. They got the quarterback that has a lot of reps and has done some things. Anthony Richardson has all the talent, but has not done it enough.
Yeah.
And defensively for Florida, I hate talking about defense all the time, But, man, last year they gave up points in bunches off of their own errors. It wasn't because they weren't physically good enough or they didn't know the play design. They just would have so many mental errors that they're getting in their own way. So if they play to their ability and can line up and play correct defense, we'll see. They should be better. And a lot comes to down to your want to. I don't want to look at Florida and watch them on film and say, I feel like their fans care more than the players do. And that's what I felt like I saw at times. I felt that Florida quit at times. They weren't playing hard. They weren't playing through the whistle. Those things got to get cleaned up if you want a chance to compete at the highest in the SEC.
You alluded to Georgia earlier.
Yeah.
The conventional wisdom versus reality. What's your reality with this team taking on Oregon?
That it's gonna be different this year. And yeah. I don't mean that they can't be as good, but that defense, no matter what, no matter who steps, they're going to take a step
back. They're not
going
to be as good.
Is that 5 points a game? Is it 4 points a game? Is it 8 points a game? This offense is going to have to operate different. Yep. And Stetson got plenty of criticism from everybody, myself included, last year. He answered the bell when it counted. But here's what I mean when it's going to be different. Last year in the regular season, Stetson didn't throw for 300 yards once, didn't have more than 17 completions once. He only had it once. So they didn't – he averaged 10 completions a game in the regular season. So this was a team that could run, play good defense, he could play action pass, be efficient, and they could win.
Yep.
Stetson Bennett has proven that he can be – you can put some weight on his shoulders and he can carry it. He's going to have to carry it for the entire season now, not just the end of the year. So they're going to be uber talented. That defense is going to be really good once we get kind of that midway through the season. I don't mean they're not going to be good right away, but they're going to be really good when they get things going. It's just going to have to look different.
Offensively, they're going to have to depend on them.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to hold a team, every team under 10 points like they did last year where the defense was outscoring the teams that they were playing. And you could just run the ball out and, you know, you're not really weren't depending on an all-star quarterback. Stetson's going to have to step it up. They're going to lean on that tight end room. I want to see what that offense looks like with all those tight ends because you can pull out certain formations and you call out, you know, defensively, you call your play based upon the guys that are out there on the field. And it's so different when you have three tight ends that you can either get really big or you can spread them out.
As a defense guy, going 13%, you think, okay, run. And all of a sudden, Gilbert's out there, Brock Bowers is out there, and Darnell Washington's in the box, and you're like,
you don't know what to do. So I want to see that kind of unfold. I think that is the element of surprise that nobody's ready for that Georgia has, that they can do multiple things on a week-to-week basis. One week, we want to just punish teams and we don't beat them up front. We can run the football. Then the next time we want to take advantage of them trying to get big with us, and then we spread them out and take advantage of our tight end matchups everywhere. So if they do that the correct way, I think the sky is still the limit for Georgia. They're still going to be there, but they're going to have to score 30-some points a game this year if they want to win consistently, at least 24, 28 points.
Grossly underrated receiver room as well.
Yep.
I think A.D. Mitchell is special. I think Ladd McConkey is unbelievable. They have depth there. They do. We don't talk about it. It's a really good receivers room. Tight ends get a lot of attention, so they'll be good.
I want to ask you about one quarterback decision, and you know they have 2 weeks off, so to speak, but Auburn with T.J. Finley. Some people, everyone now says, oh, yeah, I knew that was going to happen, although I didn't hear that a couple of months ago. Does that tell us anything, or does it tell us that he's had a really good year?
I think it says a little bit of both. Look, I do think T.J. Finley has improved, but unfortunately, it feels a little bit like that was the default. Right, it feels a little bit like Zach Calzada needed to come in and take it and be great, or it was going to be TJ's job. Here's the thing. Zach Calzada did not show us anything last year outside of the Alabama game that said he can be a guy that can take it to the next level. It
1,000%.
Just didn't. So I always thought it was going to be Finley just because of that. Right, Robbie Ashford, I think, you know, mixed it up and made it interesting a little bit. But TJ Finley, here's the one thing he did. He galvanized everybody around them. They believed in him. It wasn't perfect. Right, but in those last three games when he started, I think they lost all three, but by four or less points, something like that. I mean, they were in every game, so he made them competitive. But what?
They covered.
They covered.
Well, there you go. That's one way. Makes a lot of people happy. So, again, it's kind of just like a, Here's what I'll say, though. I was kind of just doing some prep for the year again, and I'm like, man, no one's talking about Tank Bigsby.
He's so
When's the last time you heard his name on a show? I haven't in a while. I watch a lot of TV, and it's just – he is still one of, if not the best running back in the SEC and one of the best in the country. So that still has to be the identity. I don't think he gets enough credit. I think he's kind of an afterthought just because of everything that has gone on there. So if TJ can be consistent, that'll help. They're not ready to take the next step, though.
I love that you know, we want to stay focused on TJ. And I love Tank Bigsby, though. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing player. And they got to get him the ball – not just out of the backfield. He needs to, not just in the I formation, give it to him in space and let him create, let his real talent shine. They need to do a better job of that. With TJ, though, I just figured that Zach Calzada would come in and take the job, and then that's what they wanted to do because they didn't love the production that they got out of the quarterback position last year. And so having TJ come back and be the starter, be named the guy, means maybe he has improved. Maybe this team is behind him and he's going to give them the best chance to win. And I'll take it as is there. And we're going to see. Auburn's got a couple cupcakes. And then all of a sudden we're going to see versus a Penn State team who didn't look great last week.
No.
But I think Auburn has to start off undefeated, 3-4-0, for this thing to kind of, this ship to get off started on the right direction. It's got to look good too. They can't just win these games by a touchdown or 10 points. You need to look really good and shine early for people to get confidence behind this Auburn team.
Are you suggesting that there's uneasiness down there?
It's just a little bit. I mean, they did try and a coup, right? I think they did try that at one point in time this offseason.
Term may have been thrown.
Guys, thank you for dropping by. We appreciate it, Jordan.
It was really good
Roman.
To meet you, Paul Feinberg.
I mean, he didn't even know his name at first. Do you guys? This guy's a professional.
It's been a long, you know, it's the first week. He's got a million
all
guests.
All these reality TV stars look the same to me.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Anyway, we are back. Sometimes you just keep, when you get a friendly coach, you just want to talk. I don't know. We're at the University of Arkansas, in case you were wondering. And Sam Pittman joins us. And
go home.
It's been raining all day, Coach. I know that that's kind of normal weather out here.
Yeah.
But this is duck hunting country. But you got some great fans, and they're excited that you're about to kick things off against Cincinnati. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good. I mean, we're back healthy. You know, we were beat up a little bit there a couple of weeks ago and got all our guys back, so we're back healthy. And I think we've got a good team. We'll see what that ends up being on the wins and losses, but I like our team.
When the first game, we were here last year for the second game, and you knew a little bit, and you had Texas coming in. Not that tomorrow is any Cincinnati, only was in the playoffs last year. Every year is nerve wracking, every game is nerve wracking, but is the first game against a big time opponent even more unsettling?
It really is. You know, 2 years ago we opened up with Georgia, you know, and I was very, very, very nervous. Of course, it was my first game as well, but I know a lot more about our team, you know, so I feel a little more comfortable about that. But opening up with Cincinnati is hard. There's some good things about it because I think you practice a little bit better in fall camp because you know you've got a top 20, top 25 program in town.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say. Cincinnati played Alabama last year in the national semifinals. Let me ask you about that because it was just announced that there will be a 12-team playoff sometime in the future.
Yeah.
24, 25, 26, knowing this group, it probably won't be soon or rather.
That's right.
But as a coach of a program that's trying to ascend and get in that mix, is that good news?
Certainly it is. You know, I'm all for it. You know, I get a little bit of hesitation in the SEC because it's worked for us. You know, we've been one national championship in the way that it is now. We got two in last year. But I was also at Georgia when I thought we, you know, had a top five, six team in the country where it would have been nice to go into the playoffs. But I'm all for it. I think it'll be really good for the fans as well.
Yeah, I guess in today's current environment, like in the NFL, you don't have to be at the top. You can be close, and you have a chance. And I would suppose, not that anyone likes to think about anything other than competing for a championship, but it changes the dynamics, does it not?
I think it'll help a lot of people in recruiting as well, like what I think you're maybe alluding to a little bit. I think it's good for the fans. I think they can use it with the major bowls and things of that nature. So I'm excited about it.
And I guess in the SEC, it does give you a little bit of room for error, which you have none right now. You play Alabama every year. You have the usual suspects. You lose a game, and you better hope.
Well, it is that way.
Like
now.
A Georgia.
It is. Yeah, we lost South Carolina that year, early in the year, and then went on a run, lost in the championship, and we were out. I think it gives hope to Arkansas and anywhere somebody is in that top 20 that, you know, possibly can get in the playoffs and make a run, and who knows what happened in a one-game series.
I know I hear probably more of it than you because I'm exposed to it while you're at practice doing real work. But the wild speculation of the offseason, and you talk to your great fans here and it's everywhere. You can't stay away from it. You're speaking to groups occasionally before the season. You have a show, you talk to folks, but does it get maddening? Because the expectations are always probably a little out of reality.
Well, they're excited. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't really gone the other way yet, you know. So I'd be interested to see if that ever happened. What would, you know?
You don't want to do that.
No, I don't. I don't at all. But you know what, Paul? Once you get to 9 and you play a 12-game season, you know, there's only 10, 11. There's only 3 numbers, you know, left. And, you know, if you're at 6, you go to 8, everybody's pretty happy because you improved. But you still have 4 numbers left. It's harder once you get to 9 to go to 10, 11, 12 because that just means you have to beat more powerful teams in the country. We have won 4 games against top 25 opponents the last 2 years, but to get to 10 and 11, you're going to have to win maybe 4 of those a year.
Your boss will be by later, and I realize he doesn't have a lot to do with this, but Arkansas always – not only do you always end up with the most difficult non-conference schedule, I mean, who else starts – Cincinnati, and then a major conference game next week. I mean, whatever happened to Mercer or Elon?
I don't know. I'm wondering where they are. I mean, I'm sure they've got good programs, too.
I'm sure.
But you know, Paul, all 12 of our opponents were invited to postseason last year. I mean, all 12 of them. And, you know, BYU has 20
starters
coming back.
And then there's Liberty.
And Liberty's really good. They've won 3 bowls in a row. I mean, they're a really good team. So they're all really good. It makes it good for the fans because, you know, they're going to come in and see a quality opponent, really good game and things of that nature. But, I'd like to – we don't need to play – you know, 2 non-conference teams in the top 25 every year, or somebody else would be sitting here talking to me.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
I don't know who came up with a BYU game in the middle of the year, but if it's your current boss, I won't say anything. But if it's the guy that was before him,
no, that was before
somebody. I don't want to be too violent here, but somebody at least knocked the guy in the head once or twice, because that's ridiculous.
What we've learned is, and last year was the same way, Paul. What we've learned is you just don't look at the schedule as a whole. Just look at the next week, and you can kind of handle it that way.
But you catch a real breakthrough after Cincinnati and South Carolina, you have Missouri State, and then you get the easy part of the schedule, Texas A&M and Alabama.
Yeah, Texas A&M, Alabama at Mississippi State, and then go to BYU. It's a beast, you know, but we're Arkansas. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I guess I could be cynical and say, I hope you're enjoying your life right now.
I am enjoying it, actually, a lot. It's been the greatest 3 years of my life. It really has.
You know, I was talking to a coach, a former coach the other day, and we were somehow you came up, and I'm sure you hear it, but there is such good will, I think, for a lot of people in the profession, especially those who have moved on and retired, to see what you've done, because it normally doesn't go this way. Well, I mean, you had a great life, but you weren't a head coach at Arkansas.
Yeah, and I was fine with that at the time. I had my hands full being the O-line coach at Georgia, but once I got the opportunity, I felt like I could hire enough good people around me that we could have success. And certainly with Barry and Kendall and Scott Fountain and Jamil Walker and those guys, we certainly have a really, really good staff, and that's what gives us a chance. And now we're recruiting a little bit better. We have the facilities. We have the fans. Yeah. You know, it's just and we're getting better. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, I know you got things to do. You do have a game in 24 hours. best of Jamie. I've gotten in trouble. I'm not really supposed to be neutral. I can be whatever I want, but I sit on – radio the other day that Jamie's my favorite spouse in the SEC, and I mean that because I saw you two together for the first time at Destin, and I just said, you know what, maybe because we're you're not 30 like some of these coaches, I could relate to you a little bit better being an elder statesman. Yeah. But you guys are really cool.
I appreciate that. She's a beautiful woman, beautiful spirit. I mean, and she was really happy you said that about her.
Well, don't tell her I don't have that many friends. So just trying to pick up one or two in Northwest Arkansas.
That's awesome.
Coach, really great to see you.
Oh, man, good to see you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Sam Pittman, the head coach of the University of Arkansas.
Go home.
Coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There was some lightning in the area right after Coach Pittman left us. And Rod Gilmore, who's part of the broadcast team tomorrow, we were just getting ready to come on. And I think this – I don't know what kind of mandate it is.
I didn't bring the lightning.
But we had to get up and leave to come inside out of the lightning, even though I never saw any lightning. But we don't make the rules. We just do what they tell us. And, Rod, let's talk about this game tomorrow because we've lost a couple of valuable minutes to get your insight. I know you've been digging deep. This is a huge game.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating. And, you know, neither coach is downplaying how big a game it is.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to, you know, Sam Pittman this morning about it, and he said, look, it's really important for momentum's sake for what they did last season and starting this season. And Luke Fickell made it very clear. His team still feels the sting of last season's loss to Alabama, where, you know, Alabama was really the physically superior team. And that's a tough pill for Cincinnati to swallow. So both coaches know what this game means.
Rod, we watched the draft, so we know where some of those players that did so well for Cincinnati, that went to Notre Dame, that had such an amazing winning streak other than losing to Georgia and Alabama over a two-year period. But what do they have that should make not only Arkansas fans concerned, but SEC fans who naturally think this league beats everyone?
Well, you know, 9 players drafted, 6 players on the defensive side. And look, the thing that they don't have, you know, were 2 NFL cornerbacks, which allowed them to play man coverage on the back end and commit the other guys to stopping the run, and their defense was really good. I don't think there's any way that they're going to have 2 guys on the corner like they had last season. Having said that, they have a really good defensive line. They've got a lot of speed, a lot of quickness, you know, a couple of big guys up there. Their linebacking crew, they'll play 5 or 6 guys that are really active. So I think if you're looking for what's the strength of this Cincinnati team right now, it's their defense and it's the front 7. And on the other side, you know, we're waiting to see what they do at quarterback. You know, Evan Prater is the big-time recruit that's been waiting in the wings. Ben Bryant, he waited for 3 years, transferred out to Eastern Michigan, came back, and one of them will run out on the field as a starter. I think we'll see both of them probably in the game. There are a lot of unknowns about the Cincinnati offense, but in my view, not as much about the defense. I think we'll see an active Cincinnati defense, probably a little bit more aggressive than maybe we've seen in the past, a little bit more rolling the dice. They haven't been a real blitz team in the past. Might be a little bit more of that tomorrow. They got to find a way to stop the run after what Alabama did to them in that playoff game.
And, Rod, you heard from Coach earlier, and we just got through talking to him. He seems to really like his team, but he didn't feel overly relaxed. I mean, he's got a really tough opening stretch here where things could go wrong, especially with A&M and Alabama around the corner.
I think he likes his team a lot. I think he's also being respectful of the schedule that he has. But look, I had an Arkansas game 2 years ago in his first season. This team is vastly different from that team. This is a bigger, stronger, faster team with a veteran quarterback. He has every reason to like this team. Problem is, he's playing a team opening week that was in the playoff, you know, last season. And then he's got a schedule of, you know, 12 teams that were postseason teams last season. So he's right to have concern about the schedule. But he has every reason to believe he's got a team that will surprise a lot of people, that's well-built on both sides of the ball. So some people will see Arkansas as a trendy pick, you know, and the SEC as maybe a second-place team. But they're as big and as talented as anybody except, you know, Georgia and Alabama. So we'll see what happens. But this is his best team. I don't think there's any question about it.
Right, before you go, I do want to get your thoughts on the story of the day. And, you know, about a year after we thought it would happen, the CFP finally expands. We don't know when, and it's always easy to be negative about, you know, these now that it's been approved, which in all honesty is not really that big of a deal considering we had hoped it was going to start in 23, and now it starts no later than 26, maybe in 2 years or maybe in less. What does this mean to a lot of programs, especially like Cincinnati, who now is going to be in the Big 12 but has a better shot at getting in every year?
Well, I think first and foremost, fans win because of this. I mean, we were getting to the point where, you know, not the entire country was being engaged with the playoff because it was really, you know, looking like the SEC Invitational, and so a lot of parts of the country were tuning out. I think getting 12 teams involved will make fans across the country a lot happier, a lot more interested. Doesn't mean that there all of a sudden going to be a shift and the SEC won't be as dominant as it has been, but I think it engages the country. I think for conferences like the Big 12 and the Pac-12, it's huge for the program. It's huge for them in recruiting. It allows them to be a part of the conversation and to try and attract more talented players. You just have to keep in mind that, you know, take the Pac-12 for example. Since 2016, they've been out of the mix.
Yeah.
They haven't been talked about. And then California, the state of California, the elite players have gone to the SEC. They've gone to the Big 12 because they want to be part of the playoff. And the Pac-12 showed no signs of being a part of it. So I think it's great for the Pac-12. It's great for, even your group of five, if you can be a champion and be highly rated, now you got a chance to be a part of the postseason. So I think it's a win for programs like that. I think it's a win for fans. You know, and I don't think it hurts the SEC. The SEC will get two or three teams in, and they'll be fine.
Rod, it's good to see you. I know you got a meeting. Apologize for moving us all over the place, but it's great to see you again, and it's so good to hear how you're doing. Thanks for dropping by.
Check this one off my bucket list, being on the show in person. So thanks for having me.
Many more times. Thank you, Rod Gilmore, joining us here as we look at Ole Miss's schedule as we're about to head talk about that game a little bit. Troy taking on Ole Miss tomorrow. Interesting game. Troy's traditionally had a really good program. They're in a transitional period right now. And Matt Stinchcomb, part of the broadcast team for tomorrow's Troy-Ole Miss game. As we say hello to Matt right now. Matt, good afternoon, and great to have you with us. And let's talk a little bit about this game that you'll be calling tomorrow.
Yeah, Paulie, I'll stay safe over there in Arkansas now. I mean, you're not that far down the road from us. I'm starting to get nervous. I want to make sure that we're in we're going to have to duck and cover, look for low ground somewhere. This is this contest in week one for Ole Miss is going to be a fantastic experiment, or at least a validation of what has become the transfer portal experiment with the number of new entrants into this program. And even the coaches will allow that despite the time that they've spent in camp and practices, they don't really know what it's going to look like when they actually go out there, when it actually counts and the scoreboard's lit up versus a real opponent. And as you alluded to before, obviously Troy, new coaching staff there, but a lot of familiar faces on both offense and defense with 18 returning starters, and on a team that is more than capable and talented enough to hang with an SEC caliber team, especially one that has so many new faces and in key contributing positions like Ole Miss does. And Jackson Dart will be the first quarterback to go out on the field tomorrow, but the coaches were careful to say he's not necessarily the starter, that competition has been so tight that they're literally just saying, we're going to allow Jackson Dart to go out there. You know, it's an interesting approach in a lot of ways.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.